There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Geek Trippin'.
Yeah, it's that time of week once again where we're going to pack our cases, head out on the road to catch an unforgettable gig. Now, we've covered all kinds of genres over the years that we've been doing gig tripping, from reggae festivals, we've done rock gigs, country music gigs. They've all been in there, but this is definitely firmly one of my favourite genres. I'm talking jazz and big band music.
Don't you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, step up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you, you're under my skin. Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the nights.
Ooh, this could be another one of those gig trippings that I actually go on. Having said that, I have seen Michael Bublé. Do you remember when I went to see him and I was gushing so much about Michael Bublé?
When was that?
Was it before we did the ticket? Maybe it was before then.
Because I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, it was before we did the ticket. And I remember I used to have... someone come on here doing the gig guide, and I was absolutely gushing about this gig. It was the best thing I'd ever seen, and you know, he said, "Okay, don't overdo it. You know, don't overdo it." It was a good gig, but you know, calm down a little bit. Michael Bublé was in Dubai in Sports City. The venue was Sports City, maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, I do remember him coming. I didn't go. I'm not sure why I didn't go to that gig, because I do like Michael Bublé. You know, when we did the new music review the other day?
Yeah.
There was an album that I told you about, and you were like, I can't believe that's passed me by. I love jazz.
Yeah, that was the Van Morrison album.
Do you know Van Morrison's going to be a special guest at one of his gigs this summer? Can you imagine that? This is like your dream come true.
So we're talking Van Morrison and Michael Bublé on one stage.
Yeah, 13th of July, British summertime. Hyde Park.
Oh, in the Hyde Park, yeah. The BST one, yeah. Great. Oh, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Mark's like, maybe I won't go to Bangkok.
That would blow me away. Yeah, so Michael Bublé is back, of course. He took a break from touring as his son was ill, but he's made a recovery. So he's back out doing what he does best, and that's singing and entertaining crowds. So where are we going to go and see him? We're going to go and see him in Dublin at Croke Park, which is the massive venue. Of course, it's home to a lot of sporting events as well, and big concerts. So that is going to be where we're heading off to see him. Michael Bublé, of course, what a voice. It's just like, it's coffee and cream, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great voice.
I don't like his merchandise as much as I like his voice.
His merchandise?
I was looking online at some of his new merchandise. You know how singers sell things that are not necessarily related to singing?
Okay.
He sells candles for the bathroom, scented candles, and on them they say Bublé Girl. I'm okay. Like, I don't know about
I'm
that.
A Bublé girl.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, he's a great talent, of course. He's Grammy Award winning. And what I like about him, he's still got his feet on the ground. We're going to hear from his wife a little bit later on in the show. But it was his grandfather who really supported him in his early career and kept playing him all these standard classic songs. And, you know, saying that, Michael, you have really got the voice to keep this kind of music alive. And he was actually first discovered by his family when they were driving along in the family car. And he burst out into song singing White Christmas, the old Bing Crosby song. And they all looked round and said, wow, that was a bit special. Maybe you could sing a little bit more, Michael.
I don't think that's where he was discovered, you know. I think it was my dad that discovered him.
Your dad?
Yeah, this is my tenuous link
Hang
to
on
Michael
a minute. He comes from... Canada.
I know. So
you come from Newcastle.
I know.
Go on.
And this happened in Birmingham, believe it or not. So I went home, 2011,
yeah.
And I'm with my dad in the car. He doesn't really like to have music on very often because he likes to concentrate when he's driving.
Okay.
Doesn't want any of that muzak on in the background.
Right, no distractions.
Anyway, so he says to me, Steph, you know you're working on the radio. Like, yep. He used to say, they still got you doing mornings. Like it was a shift, yeah. Like a bad thing.
Yeah,
yep. Dad. He goes, well, something for you to take back. I've discovered a fresh new talent. And have
okay.
you? Have you, Dad? He goes, yeah, I'll put his CD on. So he bangs the CD in. Out comes the voice of Michael Bublé. He goes, his name, Michael Bublé.
I knew he was going to say that, yeah.
Like, really? Awesome, I'll take him back to Dubai and see if I can help him take off. I never broke the news that I already knew about Michael Bublé.
Of course you did. Now, Michael Bublé learnt from the greats until, you know, he learnt from the likes of Sinatra and many others, but eventually he found his own style.
I get to study, and I got to mimic, and what I basically did was I stole from every person that I could steal from. I was an imitator. That's what I was. It was years before I could take all of these things that I loved about all these different artists and put them together and find my voice. It's hard. Who am I? It turns out that I'm far too schizophrenic musically for people to categorize me.
Don't you know that life goes way on the right way?
I think people judge me a lot before they ever really know who I am.
Now, I think he had that stigma a little bit, you know, okay, all this music's been done before, you know.
Is he the next Robbie Williams?
He's not in the Robbie Williams ain't in the same league when it comes to singing this kind of music. You know, but he's kept this music alive.
Yeah.
He's kept it going, and I respect him for that. And he also seeks advice from some of the best in the business.
I mean, I've talked to entertainers. I remember talking to Tony Bennett, and I asked him what advice he could give me, and he said, be nervous before every show. He said, everybody should be a little bit nervous before every show. And I thought, oh, I'm toast, because I just didn't have that. I was so comfortable up there. I'm more comfortable there than I am in a room. It's where I was sort of who I am. I was meant to be up there.
I can relate to that, because it is you know, one of the strengths of his show is just so amusing in between songs. He's not one of these guys that sings song after song after song. He really, really is very funny in between his tunes.
I thought you were going to say, because you don't get nervous.
What, me?
Before you go on.
No, well, he doesn't. He just seems so much at ease. But as I mentioned a bit earlier on, it was his grandfather who was a big fan of jazz and a real influence on Michael Bublé's career.
He would say, sunshine, you know, before I die, I just want you to if you could just learn these three songs, you know, Begin the Begin or I'll Never Smile Again. And so I would learn them, and he did this countless times, hundreds and hundreds of times. I mean, he's probably easily my best friend, yeah. He took me to every audition. He took me to every singing lesson. He would get me in by promising to give free plumbing to any club owner who would let me in. And he'd say, listen, I know he's 16, but you let him up on stage, I'm going to go and I'm going to fix your hot water here. It's busted. And then he'd wait all night, and I'd get up and I'd have my chance to sing with the band, and he'd sat there beaming at me.
Aww,
isn't that a story?
So cute.
Yeah, I'll sort your flusher out on your toilet as long as you let our Michael sing a few songs. But he didn't find instant fame. He had to work his way up the hard way.
The first, till I was about 26, was quite a struggle. Birthday parties, singing telegrams. I sang Christmas songs in the malls. My grandpa would drink about 8 cups of coffee. The poor guy. And we'd sit there for 5 hours. Yeah, I did everything that you could do. I didn't like singing at weddings. Turns out it's the one thing I did where everyone in the world goes like, oh, you're the wedding singer that made it.
The wedding singer that made it.
Love it.
Now, at one of those weddings, a certain music producer who is mega big time, a guy called David Foster, actually spotted him and invited him to LA.
It was like a movie. And as he sat down, he said, well, Mr. Bublé, why should we sign you? We have Sinatra on reprise. And I fired back and said, with all respect, Mr. Sinatra's dead. You know, I said, don't bury the music with him. I said, he wouldn't want it. No one wants it. I said, there's a void here. And I said, and I'll fill it and I'll work for you. I'll work hard for you. A week later, I was down in the basement of this building that I was staying in, and I was on the treadmill, and the doors flung open, and my grandpa and my manager were there. And they both had tears in their eyes. My grandpa said, sunshine, sunshine, you're with Warner Brothers.
Yeah, he got signed to Warner Brothers. Isn't that a lovely
story? Amazing. That's my favourite Michael Bublé song, that beginning
it,
of.
Yeah, well, it's a good one, that, isn't it? Yep. It's a beautiful day, I think. Michael's wife, she's a very lovely lady. Luisiano Lopilato is her name. And she keeps him grounded, I think.
We're just going to do a test here. How much out of 10 do you love me?
8. No.
It's been 8 since... How long has it been 8?
For so long.
What's the real Michael Bublé?
The real? Happy, funny, beautiful family. He's so sensitive. Sometimes I want to kill him, but, you know, I can't. He needs to sing more.
That's his wife then talking about Michael Bublé. Now, we're going to come back and hear more of his music and look at some great things to do in the city of Dublin. Have you been to Dublin, Steph?
I have been to Dublin.
Isn't it amazing?
It's a great city.
It's one of the best.
Yeah.
Gig tripping.
Yeah, and we're off to see this guy.
So much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet. It's a beautiful day and I can't stop myself from smiling. If I drink and then I'm buying, and I know there's no denying. When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more.
Yes, the voice of Mr. Michael Bublé is who we're off to see on Gig Tripping this week. Following a break from touring, he's back out there doing what he does best, and he's going to be performing at Croke Park in the Irish city of Dublin on Saturday, the 7th of July. Now, have you got any links to Michael Bublé?
Maybe your auntie had a coffee with his auntie or a friend of his auntie 6 years ago. Yeah. We'll take anything, won't we?
Yeah, or maybe you're a plumber.
I mean,
know his granddad?
None of them will be as good as my dad actually discovering Michael Bublé, but you can try this week.
Yeah, or maybe you went to the gig in Dubai. Let us know what you thought of it. Now, I've been looking at flights to get us to Dublin. Turkish Airlines leaving on the 5th and coming back on the 10th. Just that stop in Istanbul, that can cost us 2,502 dirhams, which ain't too bad. British Airways as well, same dates, leaving on the 5th, coming back on the 10th with a stop in London Heathrow, 2,785. That's your flights. Found a charming little Victorian red brick house as well, right in the heart of Dublin. All the amenities close by, supermarket, hairstylist, very important for me. Just 15 minutes walk from the city centre, and that works out at 224 dirhams a night.
See, you're not bad at Airbnb.
I know, I just talk about it. I never actually stay in it, do I? Ticket for the actual gig, €89. That's 383
dirhams. That sounds like a lot.
So that, well, yeah, it's probably one of the better tickets that I chose this week.
Right.
Yeah. Now, our colleague here from Dubai Eye, Ethna Trainer, you know Ethna, don't
you? I do.
Yeah, she is 100% in the know when it comes to anything Irish, and certainly Dublin. And she told me a must-see is Trinity College, which you can see right in the centre of the city.
Probably the first place you should stop off. It's a fabulous spot to go to, obviously. And it's in the centre of town. When I went to university there, I also got to live there, Mark, for 1 year. Oh, it was unbelievable. Just a magnificent building. And, yeah, you'd say to people, yeah, pop back. We'll just pop back to our place for a coffee. And they're like, you live here? So, yeah, we did live in a small apartment within there, but it's exceptional. And it really is absolutely beautiful. It's the oldest university in Ireland, actually, and it was founded by Queen Elizabeth of all the time. It's got a checkered history, as in Irish people weren't allowed to go there once. And women weren't allowed to go there once, but that's all changed. So it's everyone's allowed to go there now. It's a 40-acre site. I mean, it's a beautiful place to go. There's lovely cafes there. You can go see the Book of Kells, which is just this incredible, ornate, ancient Irish script. And it's the library, the long room of the library. It's really worth looking it up on Google and just seeing. You can walk around there for hours and just hang out. There's always something going on in the place. And there's an art gallery in there as well. So really, that's just worth a visit all on its own. And you can also cross through town there. So if you're coming up from like the likes of Westmoreland Street, coming across from the river and, you know, heading south, you come up, you'll see Trinity College, and you can actually then walk through the building to get over to the other side around Dawson Street and where there's other lovely restaurants and stuff. But I would say that's your first stop. And you can stay there if it's holiday time. So never mind staying in fancy hotels. This is downtown central Dublin, and you can get some of the accommodation. We're planning actually to do that in August. And my friends who went to Trinity, we're going, let's go back for a weekend, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, Trinity College. I've been there, and that library she was talking about, it's like something out of the Harry Potter movie, you know, where they pick the big ladders and the, they go up. Oh, that, it's that book, it's right up there.
Beautiful.
Amazing, amazing place to go and visit. Now, of course, a very tourist area is Temple Bar.
Well, it is, and that actually was, you know, a creation that sort of happened when, in my youth back in Dublin. And it had been a bit of a rundown area, and we've seen this revitalization of cities right across the world, with Dublin being no exception there. So, and it has just got better, and it's grown, and it's really become the big touristy area. So it's certainly, it's maybe a little, it's not that it's overrated, it's probably overpopulated at the moment. It's always very busy, but it has a great collection of restaurants and just social areas where one might go. Many of the bars there are playing lovely Irish music, so there's actually a few places there if somebody wanted to get stuck in with the traditional session. It's so nice to see that that actually still goes on in the center of the city and in such a touristy area like Temple Bar. So there's fabulous restaurants around there. I can't remember. So, I mean, that's one you can just pop in at any corner and one gets better than the other, so it does. So that's definitely worth a visit. But be prepared for a very busy part of town. But it's young, it's funky, it's lively, you know, it's definitely a place to stay, for sure.
Did you get to go to Temple Bar?
It's not my cup of tea, Temple Bar. Growing up in Newcastle, it reminds me of a place called the Big Market. And it's kind of, I feel like it's the area you do when you're really young.
Right.
I prefer to be not in those areas anymore.
Lovely walkable city, though, isn't it?
The
River Liffey.
Do you know what I remember about Dublin? It's got some great spectacle shops. Vintage spectacles. Did you find many of them?
I wasn't actually shopping for them, actually.
I just found, like, every corner you'd go around, there'd be another one. That's what stands out for me about Dublin. Some great glasses.
Yeah. I remember I did a walking tour. You can actually do walking tours of the city, you know, with some historians.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they've got just amazing stories about, you know, about years gone by and how life was back in the Victorian era.
I also remember good buskers in Dublin.
Yeah, and talking about buskers as well, there's musical buskers, but there's also a lot of comedy. Comedians will actually busk out on the street. They'll do a 15-minute set of stand-up comedy just to shoppers going by. And another thing that I remember is, you know, they're all still individual shops if you're walking down the main street in Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, it's not malls so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice, that, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah. So, gig tripping this week then. Michael Bublé, we'll have to see him in Croke Park in Dublin. He's going to be performing there on the 7th of July. And we're going to come back and look at a little bit more at things to do in Dublin and also do the figures as well. Just how much is it going to cost us to go along to this gig? That's all on the way.
Gig tripping.
Yeah, and we're off to see this guy.
Don't you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, step up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you, you're under my skin. Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies.
Yeah, so we are off gig tripping to see the one and only Mr. Michael Bublé. He's going to be performing in Dublin, the city of Dublin, Ireland, at Croke Park on Saturday the 7th of July. And if you don't get along to this one, definitely go to that one in Hyde Park, where Van Morrison's going to be on there as well.
Special guest.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be absolutely amazing. So we looked at a few figures to actually get us over there to go along and see the man himself perform. Found flights on Turkish Airlines, a stop off in Istanbul, that was 2,502, or on British Airways, just stopping there in London Heathrow, 2,785 dirhams. Lovely Airbnb close to the city centre of Dublin in a Victorian red brick house. That came in at 224 dirhams a night. And a ticket for the gig, quite a good ticket, at 383 dirhams. That was where we were up to. Now, things to do in Dublin, I mean, it really is packed full of stuff that you can do. But if you are a music fan like I am, then I can heartily recommend, as I was there a couple of years ago, the Dublin Rock and Roll Museum.
Because, oh, you know, I thought you were going down the road of Hard Rock Cafe there.
No, I'm not. It's the Rock and Roll Hard Rock. No, it's the Dublin Rock and Roll Museum. Now you got me going. Because so many major bands have come out of Ireland. So many big, big bands. You know, U2 obviously springs to mind. But before that, Phil Lynott and the boys. And so I took a trip in there. Into the Rock and Roll Museum, and my tour guide just told me so many great facts about it.
It's a museum, but it's also an experience. The building we're in at the moment is the Temple Bar Music Centre. It started out here in the mid-80s as a rehearsal space.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a lot of up-and-coming bands coming to the rehearsal space. The Pogues rehearsed here. Phil Lynott rehearsed here. Christy Moore has done and still does. Mary Black, the Chieftains. So that was where it kind of began. At that time, everyone was in a band in the 80s, you know. Okay. U2 were kind of blazing a trail, and it was just that kind of vibe in the city. So beyond that, then, the Temple Bar Music Centre was built in the 90s, and there's a venue here, a whole 700 people. Van Morrison has played in the stage, the Script has played in the stage, the Strokes, some other international acts have played here as well. So the tour itself is based in those facilities. So you take a trip down into the rehearsal space. We have an exhibition of the top Irish albums of all time. So the guide will talk about those albums and those particular artists and their connection to the facilities here as well. Right. We also have some vintage amps and equipment on the tour too. Yeah. So as I said, the tour guide will take you on a journey. And then you go into a rehearsal room yourself and you become a band. So as your group actually become the band. So, you know, you rehearse, you can put on costumes, and then you get ready to go backstage. And then you go backstage and we talk about riders, we talk about the bands that have played in the actual venue. So you're in the real backstage area. Right. You're the VIP, you're the artist, you know.
Yeah.
And talk about riders, the band puts together their own rider, what their requests are when they go before they go on stage. And then they have a stage call, they get onto the stage here in the Button Factory venue, and the lights are going, and the, you know, the sound and the music. And then we have a U2 exhibition in the venue itself, so recounting the story of U2 and you know, the different statistics, you know, how many albums and their tour sizes, the albums that they have released, and the success of those albums, and some memorabilia as well. We do have Adam Clayton's jacket there as well. And beyond that, then we have Colm Henry exhibition, which we're looking at right now. Colm Henry worked for Hot Press and other publications in the 70s and 80s, and is still working today. But he's a lot of Thin Lizzy, the Boomtown Rats, U2, images, pictures, photographs, beautiful photographs.
The classic as well. I mean, they're like black and white photographs. Right opposite us, of course, is Mr. Lynott, Phil Lynott. Of course, there's even a statue in Temple Bar, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a statue in Grafton Street, which isn't too far away from here. So, yeah, it's Dublin is a really vibrant rock and roll city, and always has been.
Is it still as vibrant? I mean, we were talking there about the 80s and, you know, the days of U2 and everybody wanting to be in a band. Is it still like that?
Well, here it is anyway, definitely, because we do have bands coming and going all the time. Young bands, Little Green Cars, they're an up-and-coming Irish band that have been touring in the US, and they rehearse here on a regular basis. So in this particular area, in this particular hub, it is like that. And as I meant to mention, we do have a recording studio here as well. So that's part of the tour. You get to experience that, what it's like to be in a real studio, which a lot of people don't necessarily get to do that. And it doubles up as well as our Thin Lizzy exhibition. We have his bass over there and some of his guitars that his mother, Philomena, kindly donated to us with some costumes and tour jackets as well.
Obviously very popular. I mean, there's a kind of a queue waiting outside. And yeah. the tours go, is it every hour or it takes an hour?
It takes about an hour and 10 minutes, and they go every half an hour.
Right. Right, and as I said, we're quite a queue. Now, you're a musician yourself. What's the kind of the scene like at the moment in Dublin, and where are some of the major venues that that people can go and see, perhaps, you know, upcoming new bands?
Well, it's here itself, the Button Factory venue in Temple Bar, which is part of our Temple Bar Music Centre and part of the venue itself. So, yeah. You know, there are gigs here at least five nights a week, and clubs after that. Whelan's, again, would be a major venue in Dublin, and beyond that, the Olympia, I suppose, is a great place to go and see a gig.
It's such a musical city, is Dublin, and there's no two ways about it. You know, whether you want your traditional live music with the fiddles and the traditional Irish instruments, or, you know, full-on rock. Whelan's, that you just mentioned there, I popped over into that particular place, and fabulous bands over there.
There's just such a great atmosphere whenever you go out in Ireland.
Yeah.
Good crack, as they say.
Exactly, yeah. So there it is then, Michael Bublé performing in Ireland at Croke Park, Saturday the 7th of July in Dublin. Worked out all the figures. If you flew on Turkish Airlines, stayed in the Airbnb that I spoke about, you can do the gig for 4,005 dirhams to see Mr. Michael Bublé.
Not too bad, Mark Lloyd.
Not bad at all, is it?
I like it. So are we all done?
Yeah, go on. That's it.
Keep tripping.
Didn't want to cut you short.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.